BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hey, this is Adam and Joe here on the Adam and Joe podcast, the highlights of our Six Music show. Welcome along.
That will be explained a bit later on, that Don Letts reference. Right now, I have
hey,
to...
Hey. That was suggested by a listener, right?
I know, but I was just going to say, okay. I have to credit the guy.
Yes.
Except I can't, because I've lost his flipping name. I'm so sorry, man. If you want to email in during the week...
No, but there's a special pride, there's a particular modesty of being the author of that idea, but yet not being publicly acknowledged, that makes him even
makes
more special.
Makes you even more special.
Humble and Jesus-like.
He's really nice. I've avid listener both to your podcast and show, listen to the podcast every morning on my paper round. I love the intros.
How can you have all that detail and not have the name?
Such a jerk. Plus,
paste,
he even sent in a funny made-up joke. What do you call it? What do you call two cool twin farmers called Harvey who work together to bring in the harvest?
Dunno.
Combined harvester.
Nice. He's a genius, and we don't know his name. But
combined harvester.
For his protection, it's good that his identity is protected, because with a talent like that, it could be dangerous.
Exactly. So how are you doing, listeners? How's your week been? Better than mine, I hope. Thanks for stealing my bike. And, not fixing my arm.
Yeah.
And all the other things that I'm...
You have had a tough week, and we're going to hear a lot about that. We've got some reporting from our Electric Proms event that happened last week, last Thursday. We've got made-up jokes, Text the Nation, Retro Text the Nation. The four features that you've come accustomed to being regularly presented with.
Although, you know what? I really think that we continue to get repurposed celebrity names sent through to us. And I really think that we should turn that into a semi-regular feature.
All it takes is a jingle jungle.
All right, I'll try and get on that this week. It's Daisy Haggard.
None time at all. I know Daisy well. I used to babysit for her.
She was in Man Stroke Woman. Should we talk to her?
Yeah.
Here we go. Hey, Daisy. We're recording our podcast and we're playing this into the microphone. Say something. She's hung up. There you go. That's what you get for name dropping.
Up?
I don't know. She got freaked out. No, I didn't lose the signal. She just immediately hung up. I'll call her back. And in the meantime, let's get on with the podcast, listeners.
Hey. Hello again from the big British castle. We hope you're happy with the service that you're paying for. If you're not, please let us know and we will change it all. Because we don't want you to knock the castle down with giant sticks.
Listen, you've had a terrible week. You were telling us that
you've had my moaning.
Elbow
continues to be a problem. Went for an MRI this week. You know what an MRI is?
Well, is that when you get into one of those big washing machines?
The big washing machine.
And it whizzes around all
and
scarily.
Usually, I assumed those were just for sort of brain things.
Do they inject you with magnets?
Kind of thing.
Mm.
I mean, you are told before you go into the big washing machine that you can't have any metal on you whatsoever, because basically you're being passed through what is, as far as I can tell, a massive electromagnet.
What about your adamantine bones?
No, it's not a problem for me because I've been cured of all that stuff, of my Wolverine problems.
Right.
But Wolverine absolutely would not be able to have an MRI because all
it'd
the
It'd be like popping him in a microwave.
Yeah, it would rip out right through him.
Mm.
They say, have you ever had shards of metal in your eye? Because then you can't go into the machine because otherwise they would.
The magnets will pull them out. That's
pull
amazing.
Them right out. Ay, ay, ay. It's scary. And it makes this terrible noise when you go in there as well.
Is that the thing that she does in the film The Exorcist?
Yes, exactly.
That's one of the most terrifying bits in The Exorcist when she goes and has all those scans.
I think so, yeah. I mean,
I guess they're more modern now. Those were big 70s machines.
You would think so, wouldn't you? But they are still massive. I think that you can only get them so small because the physics of the thing is just about the amount of electricity they have to pass through these things, and that's what makes all the noise. Bang, 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 bang. And they say
why does it go bang?
because it's the sound of the electricity. I said, why is it so noisy? Can't they, like, you know, it's like the modern world. We've got iPods and stuff. Can't they make, like, a quieter version? And the nurse said, no, it's just, that's physics. That's the noise that that amount of energy makes. It's never going to be quieter than that.
A banging noise, like a huge demon trying to get through the door.
Honestly. And she goes, it's very loud, so I'm going to put some earplugs in. And by this time I was lying down.
In her ears or yours?
In my ears. Oh, I was lying down by this time in a very awkward position with my elbow in front of me, lying face down on this thing. Incredibly uncomfortable.
Superman.
A little bit like Superman flying, except if Superman was holding a chicken switch in his other hand.
You get a chicken switch?
You get a chicken switch if you can't handle it.
Because what might you not be able to handle? The noise?
The noise, the uncomfortableness. You have to lie absolutely still for half an hour.
No.
While this thing happens.
Is there a telly?
There's no telly.
Radio.
I think for children, sometimes, depending on what position you're lying in, sometimes for children they give you
They should have
telly.
Some Six Music. That would be a perfect environment to listen to.
Wouldn't
some
be able to hear it.
Bang, 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 bang.
It sounds like a kind of extreme hardcore German techno club.
Yes.
And even before you go in, there's a pump that operates the machine that goes...
Beefer.
And I swear, I said to the nurse, like, is that music playing? Are they playing, like, techno music? She said, no, that's the sound of the pump. And she looked at me like, you idiot hole. Obviously, we're not playing techno music before you have an MRI. But that's what the whole experience was like. It was horrific.
Wow.
I mean, it was, just, and then after a while, you start to zone out. You know what I mean, and you become hypnotized by the grimness of it all.
So, dude, how long have you got?
I've got about, I would say, till the end of next month.
Till later.
Yeah, later.
You're going to live till a bit later
with Jules Holland. Yeah, and they didn't. All they could tell me at the end of it was, you got swollen tendons. Don't know what that
That's
is.
Good.
Someone mentioned arthritis. I mean, you don't want arthritis. For goodness sake. So I don't know. I haven't got like a definite thing yet. And then, to make matters worse, someone nicked my bike. Thanks very much. Get out your MRI.
Same day.
Bike nicked. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot for that.
You sure it's not stuck to the side of the MRI machine? Have you been pulled in by the force of the magnets?
Could be.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my troubles have disappeared because Retro Text the Nation's here. And now my letter might be read out instead of thrown in the bin and forgotten about.
So last week's Text the Nation was... You know, forgive me for describing it this way, Count Buckley's, but it was a little bit nebulous.
It was slightly unfocused. It was about kind of disastrous half-term trips, family holiday trips.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, like not some holiday trips was how I
like the idea. That's a good idea, but I still can't get my head around how that criteria changes the nature of the stories. Like, are there things that can only ever happen on half-term?
No, I mean, it was desperate. It was absolutely desperate. But, you know, our listeners came to our rescue, as
always.
They
really did. Here's an email we got from Schiltz, the vibe man. Looked like something else. He says, when I was 11 years old, when I'd been on a half-term break to the Lake District, while having our picnic, my brother spotted a chap filming the scenery and said that if someone fell over in front of him, he could earn £250 from You've Been Framed.
Hey.
A weird motivation. Like, why would you want to help the man earn that money? Maybe they're going to split it between them. I don't know. So I quickly got up, sprinted in front of him and tripped myself up.
Nice.
I got in serious amounts of pain. I fell in front of my parents, who looked at my shoulder, which they squirmed at, as it seemed to be protruding out of my skin. I was taken to a backwards doctor's out of a scene in Last of the Summer's Wine, where I waited for an X-ray doctor for 2 hours to tell me I'd broken my collarbone.
Summer's Wine.
I did, however, watch You've Been Framed avidly in the coming months to see if my escapade had earned anyone £250. It never appeared.
Ah, that's weird. You know, I was doing that very thing last weekend.
That's enterprising.
Not popping out my collarbone. But me and the family watched You've Been Framed, which is a great show, let's face it. Last weekend, we all gathered around and watched it. First time the boys had seen it, it was an absolute
smash.
It's
a smash. But would you do that if you saw someone just idly camcording something? Would you run in front of them, whoop, and do a pratfall?
No, not for
And then
for
go
their
up to
benefit.
Them and go, hi. You might have noticed I just had a pratfall in front of your camera. You and I could split £250 each way if our video gets accepted by you being framed.
Why would you go into business with someone else?
Myself, that's a good way for students and kids to earn money.
Yeah, but me and Frank were doing it last weekend.
Got any money?
No, we never did it because we ended up flying a plane instead. I was trying to get him to fly.
Flying a plane?
Like a model
plane.
What
kind of a prank is that?
A model plane.
Okay.
Like an airliner.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our captain speaking.
Force it into the ground. We'll get 250 quid.
What kind of a sick joke is that?
You started it.
You're going to read one then?
Yeah,
there's one.
You really flipped that round on me there.
Well,
you
it was just disturbing. The image was fun at
first.
Isn't
that where you were going?
I guess so.
Yeah, exactly. You're sick. On a half-term day trip I took with my family some years ago, we went to the zoo because I loved animals. Loved in the past, note. There were my parents, my older brother, my younger sister, and me. The drive was uneventful. Long, it seemed to me, but uneventful. I made straight for the lions because they were my favourites. There was one huge alpha male lion in a round enclosure, and as I stood there, he came round to face me. I was enthralled, and I looked him straight in the eye, totally believing that we had bonded forever. It seemed to me that he was looking at me for ages. And then he turned very slowly in 180 degrees to face away from me. I was still transfixed. By now, his rear end was facing me, and he very deliberately lifted his tail and urinated all over me. I can tell you now that male lions have large bladders. I was so shocked I couldn't move. My brother, who was about 14, was hysterical with laughter. I was wearing a navy blue quilted jacket. It wasn't waterproof. My mother only had a small pack of tissues.
That's the detail I really like.
With which she tried to
soaked
wipe me down.
Urine.
And dry me off like a little pack of hanky. And that was the end of my birthday treat. My parents saw fit to curtail the outing after that and marched us all back to the car. Me, my smelly lion wee coat, and a 90-minute journey home. I've never been that keen on zoos since Gil from Essex. Thanks, Gil.
That's epic, isn't it? Listen, we'll do one final one. This is the one I think, Adam, that your subject deserved. This is from Andrew in Sheffield. That sounded meaner than it was meant to sound.
You know, I wouldn't
listen
expect
to this.
Anything else.
Listen
from
to this. Hello, Adam and Joe. We went to the Doncaster Dome, which I guess is a smaller version of a biodome without the biosphere. It's a leisure centre.
Right.
They did have a large swimming pool with some big curly slides. One of the slides was painted to look like a snake and called the Anaconda. After half an hour of splashing with my toddler, I decided to have a go. I climbed the stairs to the slide. They seemed to go on forever. When I reached the top, I was up in the roof of the dome. There was a man there with an eerie grin. He said, "There you go, mate." And he was laughing. I was laughing too. I jumped onto the slide with boyish excitement. I pushed off, was immediately plunged into darkness and began to plummet at a terrific pace. My smiley face turned into an expression of concern. I began to fear for my safety as I buffeted through the darkness. I started to worry that I'd been tricked, that the slide was taking me straight to hell. I began to feel acute anxiety. Suddenly, I was cannoned out with an immense splash. On reuniting with my family, my wife said I'd turned white and called me stupid. My daughter thought I was a mega dude, loves and hugs Andrew from Sheffield. So he just went down the slide. She got a bit frightened in the middle. But basically, he just went down the slide.
Because I think myself, and a lot of the listeners, while you were telling that story, were sort of expecting it to go somewhere else.
No, he just came out the bottom.
Like maybe he'd gone down
loves and hugs Andrew.
The rubbish chute or something, or he'd been impaled by a spike at the bottom.
No, it was just mildly frightening.
He went down the slide.
He went down the slide.
Came out
it was
the other
called
end.
The Anaconda.
Sure.
There
was a
was
guy
dark.
At the top, and he said, "There you go, mate." Went down the slide. Came out the other end.
See what I mean now?
Splish, splash, splosh.
Outside my tiny little cafe in Paris, you'll find two men called Adam and Joe. All day they sit just talking away. Sometimes I listen and hear what they say. Blah, 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 waffles. Blah, 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 pancakes. They're making a podcast apparently. It sounds like a load of old crap to me. Oh, I am making the joke.
I want to get something off my chest. I was arriving in London on the train the other day. It was raining outside and I was just about to get on my bike when I still had it. And I saw a umbrella that had been left behind.
An umbrella.
Mm. Quite a nice one.
Oh.
It was a sort of mini one, but it was medium size. It wasn't too mini.
Nice.
It was nice, yeah. Wooden handle.
Colour?
Nice black one.
Wooden handle.
Yeah, lovely wooden handle. Beautiful. One of those ones where you press the button and it twangs out and erects mm-hmm. over your mm-hmm. head in a pleasing mm-hmm. way.
One of those.
And then you press the button again and it shuts itself down.
Yes.
I mean, it's one of the best types of umbrella. So I was coveting the umbrella. I was pretty pleased that someone had left it behind because I thought, bongo, free umbrella. So, you know, I was the last one to get off the carriage as well. Everyone had gone. And so it had absolutely been 100% been left behind. So scooped it up, shoveled it in my bag. As I am finishing, zipping up my bag.
I know there's, I've got to point this out, but that's, I mean, you've smoothed over the point where other people might take it to the lost property office.
Oh, yes.
I mean, there's that little nub.
There is that. I missed
that. Was that there at all?
Yeah, there was that. There was that. But you know what? I just thought, who actually goes and gets their umbrella back from the lost property office? Do you?
Nice umbrella, though. Wasn't it? Remember how you described it as being
That's
really
true,
nice?
I did, didn't I? Set it up as
you
being really nice.
You were sort of coveting it.
Coveting the umbrella. It's exactly
so
the
So why would the
umbrella.
Owner not covet it in the same way?
Of course they would.
Well, anyway, I don't mean to spoil the story with
no,
these,
no. It's a very good point. It's a very good point. And
anyway, so you steal the umbrella.
And a damning insight.
You steal the person's umbrella and...
Steal guy's umbrella.
So, yeah.
And he immediately gets back on the train.
Yes.
Like an old guy. And he's clearly looking for the umbrella. So I say to him, oh, have you left your umbrella? And he said, yes, I have. And I said, yeah, I've got it right here. I was just about to hand it in. Here you go.
Did he buy that?
I don't think so.
What sort of a look did he give you?
Well, he was pleased to have the umbrella back, but I didn't stick around to scrutinize his face because I didn't even want to deal with the look of, like, you're a liar that he would have legitimately given me.
Was there a look of sadness on your face when you gave him the umbrella?
It was sort of panic at being so badly busted. And then also coming out with, I was just about to hand this in.
Where did you produce the umbrella from?
My face started to shake with shame and bustedness at that point.
Where did you put the umbrella?
Right inside my zipped up bag.
Just going to carry this to the lost property office.
I put it in my
office.
Bag. I zipped it up so it didn't fall out on the way to the lost property office where I was going to hand it in for you.
You know, this ties quite neatly into the Text the Nation subject this week, doesn't it? Really, don't you think?
Oh, yes, I suppose so. Well, we can talk about that a bit later.
Yes.
But, I mean, I was thinking, you know, it all went off fine in the end. And the guy was pleased to have his umbrella back. And I was pretty embarrassed about what I'd done. But still, no bloodshed. Mm. But I was thinking, like, if that had been an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, can you imagine? That would have been the beginning of a lot of killing and shouting and stuff like that.
What? You're not even going to say thank you? I handed back your umbrella. You were going to steal my umbrella. You had no intention of handing. What? I gave it back. What do you want? I'm going to sue you. I'm going to run you over in my car. What? You're going to run me over in your car because I gave you back your umbrella? What's going on here? I'm going to hunt you down and kill your family. What?
That kind of thing.
I haven't watched that program in years.
That's what it's like.
Now I feel I have.
Free episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm there. Brand new. Exclusive to the Adam and Joe Show.
Oh yeah, so funny. I forgot to laugh.
We're going to get into this week's Text the Nation. But before we do, here's a jingle that I've collaborated with a listener to create. This was sent in. The backing track was sent in by Neil in Kingston. He's done a little bit of guitar playing here in a Bob Dylan Come Buffalo Bill style, he says, that he thought we might enjoy this. So here's what I've come up with, Neil.
Text the Nation. Ooh, Text the Nation. About the subject that they specified on the radio program. You've got to text the nation now. Doggy, what if I'm using the email instead of texting? Is that a problem? No!
Sort of quasi Bob Dylan.
There, that's good work.
Thanks very much, Neil and Kingston, for that. So this week, what is our subject?
Well, I was cycling in this morning, and when you cycle in very early on a Saturday in London, the roads are very empty.
Yeah.
And I cycled past a shop, and on the pavement outside the shop was a giant letter E.
Ooh.
A lowercase letter E.
Where had it come from?
Well, I think they were Sean redoing Ryder. The front of the shop, but they'd probably gone off for brekkie or a bacon butty.
Left the E lying
And they'd
around.
Left this E just lying in the middle of the street. And this is why it ties into your umbrella thing you were talking about earlier. Because when you see something just in the street. It's hard to resist the sense that it's public property.
Sure, no one wants
because it's obstructing this letter E, like a sort of Sesame Street letter, mm-hmm. just lying there. It was very big. It was about 3 or 4 foot wide. It was a nice E.
What colour?
It was white.
Ooh.
Very solid.
Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, I could just have that E.
I'm going to snaffle that E.
I could pop that E.
Yeah.
And take it home. But I didn't. I resisted it because I knew they'd miss it when they came back.
Sure.
But it started me thinking about stuff you see in the street that you just decide to sort of take.
Yeah, no one wants that.
If something's in the street, then it's pretty... Is it accepted that it's pretty much anybody's game?
Well, you do feel like that when you're a teen, especially.
We've discussed this on shop floors. We've discussed before that if a product falls onto the floor of a shop and stays there for a while, yeah. some of our listeners in the past have thought that it's then public property.
Yeah.
But in the street, that's even more exaggerated, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's of course it should be said right at the very top
yes.
of this Text the Nation. That's not the case.
It's not the case.
It's going to be council property, probably. You know, things like road cone, street furniture.
But if someone's left it in the street, it suggests that they don't care about it that much, doesn't it?
I agree with you.
Like everyone's snaffled a road cone, haven't they?
A road cone. Especially in your student days. I mean, it's a bad thing to do. And I remember getting very badly busted for that.
It's fun to have a road sign in your room.
Of course it is.
Don't you think?
Because you're kind of repurposing yeah. that stuff a little bit like an American pop artist might.
So this is confessional. We're not encouraging this kind of behavior
no.
or condoning it in any way. But we'd like to know what things you have appropriated from the street.
Mm, a bit of civil property sharing.
Yeah.
We went through a quite prolonged phase of doing this kind of thing. Mm. Maybe we'll talk about it later on
Maybe.
In the show. We got some confessing to do, and not all of it's legal confessing. You dig?
This podcast comes from a corner of the BBC that you can listen to if you have got a DAB. It is called Six Music,
the secret station.
Are you excited about Roland Emmerich's forthcoming film, 2012?
Oh, this is the disaster movie
yeah.
to end all disaster movies.
They showed a big advert for it during the X Factor the other weekend.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a little bit traumatizing for children.
Sure.
It shows the world ending, basically.
That's right.
Tectonic plates splitting and tipping into the ocean, entire cities falling into the ocean, massive schisms opening up through densely populated urban environments.
And even children running screaming from fireballs.
Well,
and
it's
stuff.
John Cusack trying to save his kids.
Yeah.
He gets his wife and two kids in a plane and they're trying to take off, aren't they? And this crack is opening right behind the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're trying to fly through skyscrapers that are collapsing and falling into each other.
I hate it when that happens.
It makes it very difficult to get into work on time.
Yeah.
And there are constant cutaways of the two little kids who must be about 10 or 11 looking through the plane window having to react to this stuff.
Yes.
Tricky job for a director, don't you think?
To make the children react.
What, to direct a child? All right, Samuel, you are looking out of the window of the plane.
This is Mr. Emmerich.
Yes. Is this a good accent?
Very good.
He's German.
He's German and
yes.
he's slightly can.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Have you not seen his films?
No.
And you look out of the window and the world is ending. Okay, action. How would you do that face? I mean, this is radio, so it's not a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid...
If the world was ending...
The world. The kid kind of goes blank, which
yeah.
is the way to do it, really. I mean,
sure.
you can't do a big, like, rubbery expression,
less
can
is
you?
More, no.
Less is more, yeah. But,
well, I wonder if he did any of that stuff that Spielberg used to do, about, like, tricking them into reacting
right.
in certain ways.
Right.
By showing them dead cats and stuff.
Yeah.
Spielberg
they
never
bought
did that.
A cat that looked exactly like the child's
like,
cat.
Like, didn't Spielberg on
Offed
Close
it.
Encounters say something
Well, he
like,
would dress up as a clown. That was famously what he did when
yeah.
the little boy was reacting to the spaceships outside the window and he says, toys! That's
But didn't he once do something a little bit dodge, like, say, someone's auntie
Dustin
died?
Hoffman famously on Kramer versus Kramer made the little boy cry by telling him he hated him.
Oh, right.
Yeah, made really close friends for him for half of the production and then got angry with him, said he was rubbish and not
That's
doing
no...
a good job.
Oh.
He got that amazing Oscar-winning crying scene. But the whole point of this is that trailer for 2012 has made a deep traumatic impression on my tiny brain.
A deep impact.
Yeah, and I'm a, like a man type of a thing. And if you were a child, who can imagine the psychological effect it would have? I had a 2012 dream. A blockbuster dream. Do you ever have blockbuster dreams where suddenly the production values in your dreams skyrocket?
You're lucky. I have kitchen sink dreams.
Do you? I had a 2012 dream and I was literally in 2012.
Wow.
I was in a room and the world was ending.
Is it in 3D?
It wasn't, unfortunately.
Oh,
but then 2012 isn't in 3D,
I don't think.
The world was ending outside the window.
Yeah.
And I was freaking out because the world was ending. I was panicking and didn't know what to do. So in the dream, I thought, oh, video it. Quickly, video it. I grabbed a video camera and started videoing these amazing effects that were happening outside the window.
Get £250 for it.
Then someone came up in the dream and put their hand on my shoulder and said, sorry, mate, that's piracy. You can't do that.
No way.
Yeah. That's pretty meta, don't you think?
That really is.
The other thing that freaks me out about that film is the BBFC box in it, right?
Yeah.
It's got all this spectacular destruction, the world ending, and the BBFC certification box says contains sustained moderate threat and one use of strong language.
Moderate threat. Did they not use the word peril anymore?
No. Moderate threat, the entire world ending, being sucked into a huge chasm while you desperately try to escape with your family, while a crevasse opens up inches from the wheels of your plane. Moderate threat.
In the hands of Emmerich, maybe it is.
Flying sideways through two collapsing skyscrapers, just making it.
Yeah.
What are the BBFC doing? They're giving away plot points, and they're actually reducing the dramatic impact of films.
They're not giving away too many plot points there, though, are they?
Moderate threat. One use of strong language.
Yeah. Any full frontal nudity?
No.
Brief, shocking, full frontal nudity. That's my favourite BBFC. Or prolonged, shocking, full frontal nudity. I know, I don't like those films, you know, because they are depressing. I don't like to think about the world ending. It's not fun for me. Like, I saw Drag Me to Hell the other day. And that's sad as well.
It does, yeah, it's got a sad ending.
It's got a very sad ending. I wasn't prepared for it. Adam and Joe. Adam and Joe. Adam and Joe. The podcast. Adam and Joe.
Touch me. Adam and Joe. No, Adam and Joe. So, listeners, last Thursday we did a show at the BBC Electric Proms, which is an amazing kind of explosion of live music events that happens in the Roundhouse in London's Camden Town. And we acquired the top slot, the best slot, noon on a Thursday, and the best venue. It was actually quite a nice venue, wasn't it? It was a sort of little seated room with a stage, and 100 fans came along. A few thousand people applied for tickets, but 100, I say fans, you know, supporters, helpers came along.
Humans.
Sympathetic humans came along. And we did a kind of hour of messing around, the highlight of which were the two performances by our winners of our Song Wars karaoke competition. Fish and Chips, Dish and Trips.
Dids and Trish.
Dids and Trish.
From Cornwall.
Who did a brilliant version of your song of Nutty Room.
Lovely close harmony version of Nutty Room over the backing track.
And a young man called Ben Mercer, who did an amazing cover of Sontum of Qualis. And then I had been sort of forced into singing Dr. Sexy, so I sung Dr. Sexy, and I wanted to sing it to someone who had sexy disease. And I turned to the audience and said, who here has sexy disease? Expecting everyone to be fighting to get to the stage. And no one seemed to have sexy disease at all.
No.
So we had to force Ben Mercer, only because he had
tight jeans,
which is one of the symptoms, to come. And I did an erotically charged version of Dr. Sexy. There were certain things that happened, though, that are available to see on a video on our blog. If you go to the Adam and Joe blog, you can check out a kind of 12-minute highlights package, including a montage of the submissions we got for the competition, those three performances. But there were some things that happened on that day that no one other than the 80 people that were in that room will ever know about.
Special things.
Special things.
That only they will ever experience.
Secret things. A secret song Adam sung.
Yeah.
Some experimental segments.
But right now we're going to play you a little clip package of just some of the highlights from that day.
Six Music.
Live from the Electric Proms.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to Adam and Joe's Song Wars at the Electric Proms.
Before we introduce you to the winners today, we're going to just play a little compilation. Shout out if you see yourself. Hey!
Imagine
imagine
actually having to do it now?
Exactly.
Wouldn't that just be awful?
Someone, however, does have to do it. Our two winners, we had Dids and Trish, who are going to sing my Nutty Room song.
And there's Ben Mercer, who's going to sing my Sontum of Qualis song.
Welcome to Stupid Question Time.
Becky, stroke Grace. There we go.
Wow, he's going to go to them.
How you doing, ladies?
Adam, do what Russell Brandon does on Big Brother's Little Brother and sit, like, on them.
Right.
That's the trendy thing to do.
I'm heavier
just get
than
really,
Russell
that's
Brand.
What all presenters do, get really physically close, invade.
It's true, I'm going to be a bit invasive now, right? I'm just going to touch your inner thigh.
It just seems a bit uptight,
man.
I'm patting it. When Russell does it, it's more relaxed.
It's still a bit too middle class for this. I'm just going to pat you on the shoulder there. And maybe shake hands. Anyway, jolly good. Now, could you read out your question for us, please?
What is she going to look like with the chimney on her?
I mean, the literal answer, of course, is that she's going to look dreadful because she will be dead.
Please give a big, warm welcome to Ben Mercer.
Sometimes I wish Roger Moore would come back with a underwater car or some kind of jetpack or a hologram and a Union Jack. But give it, mate, it's not V8. He'd rather punch you in.
There is Boggins. Now, who,
I've done a poo in a corner.
Who would like...
I'm going to eat it.
Who would like this segment to continue for a while? If you like Boggins, would you raise your hands? Oh, that's a very good showing for Boggins.
Made up jokes, made up jokes, made up jokes, made up jokes.
Did you hear about the giant bird who couldn't fit in at the tiny bird school? He was massively ostrich-sized.
Hey,
come
good.
On, that's good. These are made-up jokes. Yeah? Listen to that, Murray, wherever you are.
Can we have Dids and Trish on the stage? A big round of applause for Dids and Trish, please. They painted beards on.
There you go.
Thank you very much, folks.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the nation this week could be summed up with the phrase, things in the street that you nick.
I suppose.
But this is a classier programme, isn't it? So
I'm trying to take the emphasis off the nicking.
Off the stealing, off the illegality. Yeah. So reappropriated street junk.
Like, for example, I remember when I was at school, I went to boarding school, right, listeners, like a posh school, right? And in my dormitory, I thought it would be a fun thing to jazz up the dormitory if I got some things that I'd found in the street and brought them into the dormitory to make it look more groovy, like a kind of student room.
Yes.
So I found some stacks of discarded newspapers, like copies of the Evening Standard that hadn't been sold, and they just leave them out at the end of the night, right? And so...
Unless they're the copies for the following morning.
No, they weren't. They definitely weren't. They were discarded ones that were going to be cleared away by the council or whatever. So I kind of transported these stacks of newspapers back to the dorm and built like a wall around my bed with these
stacks.
How many
stacks were there?
Loads. Like,
really?
Yeah, like about 40. And constructed this wall of
That's
newspapers.
Cool.
And then, like, the housemaster came in and he flipped his wig, right? And he said, what are you doing? Are you like a tramp? Take these back onto the street. Why are you bringing this rubbish in here?
So it's not rubbish, sir. I'm making a wall of newspapers out of newsprint.
That's a perfect example. We've had some confessions from people within Six Music here. We've got a text from Tom, who produces Music Week, who says, my parents still have a set of traffic lights I once liberated in their garage. I woke up one morning after a night out and they were propped up behind the door in my bedroom. I think, brackets hope, they were being replaced. So he must have had those traffic lights for years.
That is the ultimate bit of reappropriation there. Everyone covets traffic lights.
Here's one from Katie in Islington. After some central London riots while I was at university in about 2001, we ended up with a giant McDonald's M on our kitchen
Whoa.
Wall. We managed to wire it up and light it up.
good one.
That's pretty cool, isn't
it? I mean, if
it?
You go to Los Angeles, right, on Sunset or Melrose, I can't remember one of those, there's an antiques shop there and they sell all that kind of stuff. They charge thousands
they do.
For that kind of thing. Mm. You know, like a Bob's Big Boy Man.
Diner, yeah. Like a big hollow plastic man.
That kind of thing. And like
it's
a
very
big
valuable.
Golden arches. You would get loads for that.
Here's one from Jordan from Stowmarket. When my friends and I were around 14... Now, this is a troubling one, all right? This is really troubling. I should end with that one, actually. I'm going to end with that one. I'll do another
one. Have we reminded listeners that we are in no way condoning the illegal
theft
removal?
Theft is wrong, but it can be ambiguous when things are just left in the street.
It's not ambiguous, Joseph Cornish.
No, come on, it can be.
It is
You don't
theft.
Leave something just in the street if you really, you know, if it's precious to you.
If it's council property, you do, because it belongs on the street. It's street furniture.
Okay, Mr. Evening Standard bed wall. Hi, Adam and Joe. When I was at art college in Manchester, some friends of mine had an entire bus stop in their living room, complete with the sheet of glass at the back with bus route maps on it. From Niall in Camberwell.
That's an impressive level of mania.
I'm still going to delay the impactful one. Here we go. Helen in Lewisham. Once I snaffled a whole bunch of Guardian newspapers left outside a newsagent's in the early hours. When I woke in the morning, I was surprised to find them in my bedroom. Plus, I couldn't make any financial gain because it was all out of date in 24 hours. I would only read them once. It was pointless and shameful.
She nicked ones from the day, though. I didn't do that.
Are you sure, though?
The previous day, yeah.
Do you want to hear the disturbing one?
Go on, then.
Hi. When my friends and I... were around 14, we found a dead cat in the street. We didn't take it, but we returned daily to worship our new cat god, which we aptly named Lucky. Love you, by Jordan in Stowmarket.
Why did you read that?
I don't know. You know, I thought they'd actually taken the cat home. I didn't realise that they didn't take it. I was hoping that they did take
they
it home.
They were worshipping the
just
corpse.
Just worshipping it in the streets.
Here's a
not
fun
so
email
good.
From some people who worship the corpse of a dead cat. I'll read that out on the family show.
Well done.
If you listen regularly to this show, listeners, you might know there's like a really sort of stinky dog that comes in here.
Come on, he's sweet.
He is very, very sweet, but...
He loves us.
He's very... He's really friendly. This is the thing. He's really friendly. But he's got some problems, hasn't he?
He's got some problems with his
anal
glands.
He's just getting old, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like he can speak to us sometimes.
Well,
know?
He talks. I mean, rumour is around the building that he was the... dog that was on that a program called That's Life that went out in the 70s and famous for being able to say the word sausages. But anyway, he's called Boggins, this dog. He comes into the studio every now and then. If you listen regularly, I don't know, he just wanders around and, you know, someone opens the door and he trots in.
Scampers in.
Yeah, it's funny old business.
Licks your face.
But as you know, we were thinking of having him put down.
You were thinking.
I was thinking. Well, we were both considering it.
We've got a lot of messages from people who would like that to be done, as well as a lot of messages from people who would like to take care of him.
We put it to the audience vote at the Electric Proms, and it was unanimous support for keeping Boggins alive.
Was it actually unanimous?
It was as if they thought that the idea of killing a living thing just because it was getting a bit old was disgusting and wrong.
Yeah. That is a little bit harsh when you put it like that, though, isn't it?
Well, but sometimes, you know, sometimes it's difficult with... You know, it depends on Boggins' quality of life, doesn't it?
Just looking at the producer now, James, do we need to point out this is not a real dog we're talking about? Okay. No, we don't.
We've had some email. We've had some emails. I would like to weigh in on the Boggins the dog debate. As I listen to your show on my iPod in the morning, the entire show is heard through my in-ear headphones. However, the deranged grunts and incessant lickings of dearest Boggins the dog do not make for pleasant listening. It feels a bit like my head is being sexually molested by a rabid man dog who is trapped inside my brain.
Wow.
Not a pleasant experience in the morning. Therefore, I urge you to put poor Boggins the dog down in as humane of a method as possible. Lethal injection, gas chamber, electrocution. Well, I'm not going to read the last two. Love. Kiss, kiss, big kiss, big kiss, big hug, small kiss, big hug, small hug, big kiss, John.
There's six kisses from Kate in London, and she says, "Dear Adam and Joe, please, for the love of God, put down Boggins. I really can't cope with the sloppery saliva noise he makes. It repulses me."
Sloppery?
Yeah, that's a good word, don't you think?
Yeah.
And then someone else says, "Please put us all out of our misery by putting Boggins out of his." Linda Kavanagh says, please
the
get
thing
rid
is,
of
he's Boggins still seems happy.
Yeah, I mean,
he is suffering, but he's still happy.
Here's a little clip just to remind you of what a sweet chap Boggins is.
Hello, my name's Boggins, and I love you, and I stink. Mainly because I just done a poo in a corner and I ate a little bit. But I love you and I'm sweet, so I'm going to lick your face. Hope you don't mind. And outside, I found a bird and I ate it. And then I was sick and then I ate that as well. But I love you and I'm sweet, so I'm going to lick your face and bite your legs. Hope you don't mind. Also, I'm going to sleep in your bed tonight in your nice clean sheets, even though I've just been rolling in poo because I love you. Sorry.
How could you not love
what
that?
Was, yeah. What's the point in playing a minute of just incomprehensible dog snuffling noises?
Feels like he's speaking to me is the thing when I listen to him snuffling
really?
And snarfling. Yeah, because
I don't get that.
He's such a sweet little chap. Because, you know, we got a lot of messages in support. Some people really love that little fellow. And, for example, Stephen Tizard says, "Dearest Adam and Joe, after listening to this week's podcast, I was mortified to hear that Boggins was going to be put down. As a member of the newly founded RSPS Boggins, I felt it my duty to rescue Boggins from such an unnecessary death." And he has done it in an imaginary way, and he wants to know if it's an imaginary dog that he's imaginarily saving. Does that mean he's imaginarily saved? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's imagined a whole rescue scenario for
right.
Boggins. And because Boggins is an imaginary dog, does that mean that Boggins has been rescued?
Because Boggins is what?
He's imaginary.
He's what?
You told me last week he was imaginary. This is getting very complicated.
What are you...
The layers. You said last week he was imaginary. I'm playing along with that. Yes.
Did I?
And now he's real, is he?
Well, is he real?
No, he's not, because you can't talk about putting down a real dog on a radio show like that. It would be weird.
But he's very ill.
He's not
really
real.
Ill.
Is
he's
he real
Ill.
Or is he not real? You're scrambling my mind now.
I can't answer that question.
Alexei Vasiliou says, "You can't put Boggins down. I'll look after him if you don't want him anymore." What's wrong with stroking him, right, and giving him a cuddle and seeing if he licks your face or bites your leg?
He stinks.
He does absolutely reek.
Like, you can't cuddle.
He's absolutely rank.
This is a podcast. You downloaded it quite fast using your broadband and some clicks done by your hand. Now you're listening to it in your house or in your car or a boat or in a plane. Hope it's nice wherever you are.
This is something that I wanted to talk to you about, Joe. I mean, we've spoken about this before. Remembering people's names, right? I mean, it just doesn't get any easier for me, even though I downloaded Darren Brown's memory podcast.
Did you?
Thing. Yeah, someone
well,
recommended
how does he
it.
Do it?
He's got various tricks.
A memory cathedral?
Right. Going through a house and assigning.
That's what Hannibal Lecter does.
But it's just not possible when you're introduced to someone. It's a loud room or whatever.
We should explain, like a memory cathedral is a technique for remembering things, and you remember a physical space in your head. You imagine a house or a cathedral or a mansion, and you imagine in great detail each room, and you put objects or hang pictures that remind you of particular things, right? Is that the idea?
Kind of thing. So if you wanted to do, like if you needed to memorize a whole shopping list, for example, then you would assign different items to different parts of that imagined space.
And another thing, what's the other really popular technique is, what is it? Is it associating an object with an event?
Yeah, well, a good one that has worked for me in the past is, for example, our producer's called James Sterling. So I would imagine something being stirred, like a cup of coffee being stirred, maybe by a starling or something like
Does
that.
Does this make you feel loved, James?
That's complicated.
So, you know, I'm imagining a starling stirring some coffee. So there's a little memorable image there, and I'm going to remember James Sterling there, although I might call him James Starling. Or James Coffee Starling. That's the only potential problem with that thing. But
it's an unforgettable image, though.
Exactly.
The Starling stirring the coffee.
Sweet. It's a whole new vista of nightmares that's opened up for me, though, because of the school run, right? And having to go to school with my children.
And say hi to parents.
Saying hi to parents.
God.
I am no good. And my wife, she's got like a photographic memory, and she's brilliant. She remembers absolutely everyone and what their children's names are and all this kind of thing. But
the kids, kids are difficult. I forgot your daughter's name.
That's fair enough. I can't remember my friends' children's names. There's so many of them, for goodness sake. I can't remember my family's names, let alone the names of my children, the children of friends. But then when I'm going into school, it's a nightmare for me. I'm quaking. For a start, it's very early in the morning. Mm. And I don't like getting up before 10, but since I've had a family, I've had to. You get up at 6:30 these days. It's a living nightmare. And so you go into school, your brain is barely functioning, and then you're suddenly met by people sort of going hi and smiling at you and stuff and waving, and you're supposed to remember who they are and what their son's name is, and I can never do it.
What's wrong with just a hi?
Hi, how you
doing?
Because every now and again it's absolutely clear that I can't remember their name, and they say Adam to me, right? And you should come back with their first name in response, and I don't, and I feel so bad, and I can tell that they are going, you just are an idiot hole, and you can't, you know, it's so rude not to remember my name. You've met me several times.
You know what I think?
What?
I think that's their fault.
Well,
I think you're mature enough for people to forgive you that.
I hope so. I really do.
And you shouldn't get upset about it.
Here's one that maybe I wouldn't have been forgiven for, though. Mm. The other day, my wife said, can you please tell Frank's teacher that he keeps forgetting his homework? Can you ask her to ensure that he takes it home with him at the end of every day? So I'm like, yeah, okay, remind again. Talk to Frank's teacher. Okay. So I go into the classroom with him. There's no one there, right? We're the first in. And then the next person to come in is this lady. And she looks familiar, and I'm like, ah, there you go, Frank's teacher. So I'm talking to her, and I'm saying, hi, yeah. And she's like, oh, hello, how are you? I'm like, yeah, good, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. And I say sort of half-heartedly, because I'm not 100% sure it's his teacher, but I'm thinking, I'm going to throw myself into this. Yeah, Frank keeps forgetting to bring his homework back, so I'm really sorry about that. And she's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm wondering if you can sort of just remind him and stuff just to make sure he does. And she's like, okay, I don't know. And then, you know, obviously I realised it wasn't his teacher.
Who was it?
It was just a parent that I'd met before. I'd met them before a number of times. And
that's terrible.
It was absolutely awful. I was mortified. I just wanted to run and jump out of the window.
What about this technique, right?
Yeah.
This is something that happened to me when we were at the Sony Awards. A producer came up who used to produce for us at the other radio station. And he said, hey, Joe. I said, hey. And then didn't say his name. And he just came straight back with, you don't remember my name, do you?
Nice.
And so what did I come back with? Yes, of course I remember. I said, of course I remember your name. This was my tactic. It was, of course. Are you really accusing me of not being able to remember your name?
It's like Peep Show.
I said to him, and he came back with, yes, I am. You really don't remember my name, do you? So it went from jokey to quite a serious confrontation within
standoff.
A couple of seconds. So I stuck to my guns. I was just like, yes, and I can't believe you're asking me to actually say your name.
No way.
Yeah. That's what I went for. I was still slightly tongue-in-cheek, but not a lot of tongue anymore.
Talk about curb
rapidly
your enthusiasm.
Rapidly diminishing tongue.
What? You're accusing me of not remembering your name now? I'm insulted!
He got quite aggressive, and he was... You don't remember it. Stop pretending you do remember it. You don't. I was like, of course I do. How dare you... got really bad.
How did it finish?
It didn't. It just tailed off.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that's a cautionary tale. That's a tactic not to do.
Yeah,
I say fess up as
well.
As
I did.
As
I just said to her, after a few uncomfortable seconds had gone by, and she was staring out the window, thinking that guy's an idiot. I just said, I'm so sorry. I just called you Frank's teacher, didn't I? I was talking to you as if you were Frank's teacher. You're not Frank's teacher. I'm really, really sorry. But even the act of saying it just made me seem even more pathetic and addled. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're very human and lovable. Oh, God. He's here again.
Noises, beeping noises.
Do you like just fun quizzes?
I love quizzes.
Do you love just a fun quiz?
Sure, I love a fun quiz.
Just for no reason?
Yeah.
A sort of general knowledge kind of a quiz?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do one? The listeners could
bad at general knowledge, though.
Well, it's pop cultural knowledge. The listeners could join in at home or wherever they are.
Just for fun.
We like fictional bands, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't we? We like a good fictional band in a novel or a... So I'm going to read you the name of a fictional band. You have to tell me what movie it comes from.
Okay, right? Good one.
Hey, That's My Bike.
Hey, That's My Bike.
What film's that from? An old film, 90s even.
Is it?
Hey, I mean, there's a few of these, so how long should I give you to think about them?
I've no idea.
Hey, That's My Bike.
No idea.
Reality Bites.
Reality Bites, of course.
Yeah. How about this one? Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld. Come on.
That's not The Lost Boys, is it?
Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld.
Timmy! What's that?
South Park, you nutbag. Kurt Wilde.
Oh, I know Kurt Wilde. That's Velvet Goldmine.
Famous rock singer Kurt Wilde, yes. Nick Rivers,
I know Nick Rivers.
Come on, push. Oh. 80s film, Zucker Brothers.
Yes, yes. Yes. Top Secret.
Yes, Val Kilmer. Sim One.
That's
okay,
from...
you don't have to answer.
Yeah, that's from Simone.
That's a fictional rock star. She's good, though, isn't she? I mean, if she existed in the real world, she'd be very famous. She's
computer generated. I know that gig, the big stadium gig, is
that's
amazing.
That's one of the most incredibly idiotic films ever made. Sim One. Okay, Baldwin and the Whiffles.
What? That's a made up one.
No, it's in a film. Baldwin and the Whiffles. The lead singer is, I think, it's a film with Johnny Depp in it.
Not Alec Baldwin.
No.
Johnny Depp.
That's a good name for a band, though, don't you think?
Brilliant.
Baldwin and the Whiffles?
Definitely.
It's from Crybaby, John Waters' Crybaby.
Oh, there you go.
Crucial Taunt.
Who's that?
That's famous, man. Crucial Taunt, 90s famous.
Singles?
Nah, Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. I don't remember that from Wayne's World.
Wild Stallions with a Y.
There you go. That's easy. That's Bill and Ted.
Yeah. Cherry Bomb. This is obscure.
Can I say Singles again?
No.
There's some bad bands in Singles.
It's a film that stars a duck.
Oh, Howard the Duck.
Yes.
Nice.
Cherry Bomb.
How many other films star a duck?
And final one. What film is this fictional rock star from? Lady Gaga. The answer's Baby's Day Out.
Oh.
That's the end of the quiz. It was just a fun quiz.
I'm a funny person. I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
So I was reading these jokes last night, reading through all the listeners' jokes, and as I said, I came across these two really well-crafted jokes, suspiciously well-crafted, and now that I look at them in the cold light of the morning, I don't think they can be made up.
Hmm.
Do you know a guitarist that could make me a yeasty sandwich? No, but Johnny Marr might.
Brilliant.
You see? Suspiciously brilliant, though. Here's the next one he sends. And there's no context. He just fires out the two jokes, then says goodbye. Here's joke number two. Knock, 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 knock.
Who's there?
A spider.
That's all right.
Got all the legs. That's good, man. That's good.
That's good for the playground.
Cheers, Jim Stewart.
Johnny Marmite is a stroke of genius.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I can hear myself saying this. Every time I've said this in the past, I've been enthusiastic about jokes.
Look, Johnny Marr's been around for a long time. A lot of journalists in lots of frivolous mags have written gags about him.
Yeah.
Someone's probably come up with that one,
don't you think? Johnny Marmite.
Have you got any jokes?
Sure I do. Here's one from Tom Baz in London, he says. Greetings, says Tom. What does Martin Sheen shout when he desires his favourite fruit-based soft drink?
I don't know.
Apple Calypso now.
Whoa. That's good.
Very good. Thanks, Tom. This is from Shane in Dublin. Dear Adam and Joe, I'm a big fan of the podcast. I listen to it in bed every Monday night in a sleepy, drunken haze after coming home from the pub. On this penumbra of consciousness, I gleefully chuckle my way to sleep. Not the healthiest habit, I admit. Here's my joke, though. What was Danny Glover's response when asked why he was throwing out a skin-tight T-shirt? I'm getting too old for this shirt.
That's good.
That's definitely made up, though, isn't it?
How about this one? Why was the 3D animator depressed? Because his life was a mesh.
That's a good technical joke there. It's one for the folks at Pixar.
Yeah, section of the audience will enjoy that. That's from Nick in Nottingham.
By the way, Shane, you promised that you would cut down on your booze if I read out your joke, all right? So you stick to that promise.
Although the following joke is based around a pun and clever use of wordplay, I'm quite convinced that it has never been used before. Therefore, it's completely original and brilliant. I can't begin to tell you how proud I am of my efforts. Quote, I once scuppered a young child's plans for a non-violent protest in India. It was like taking Gandhi from a baby. Craig Paradise from Southend-on-Sea.
That's very good.
Well, there's something there, isn't there?
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
That's good.
Sophisticated.
One last one from me. This is Jason from Jason Stubbs. What do you call a rock band formed by a tortoise, a hare, a monkey and an ostrich?
I don't know.
Smashing Pipkins.
Oh, that's good. I mean, that's retro.
That's very retro.
Younger listeners won't know what that is.
Nice one, Stubbsy.
That's a 70s TV show. Can I do you some rapid fire ones?
Go on then.
Some kind of low quality rapid fire ones. What do you call a film directing worm?
Don't know.
Ridley Scott. Brackets probably done before. Very obvious. Kevin Tenuous Palmer Ibiza.
I like it.
Yeah. How does one attract members of the opposite sex during a nautical disaster? By using a flirtation device.
Nice.
Ed Zedd, North London. When and where is Superman getting buried? In a crypt tonight.
Oh, that...
You know it.
That's...
Ian Horseman.
Yeah. Here's, okay, one final one, right? Uh-huh. This is from a family. We like family things on this show, right?
Yeah.
So this is Tracy Gregory, who sent in this little clip of her young son, her three-year-old son, Riley, providing a punchline for this joke read out by her partner, I think.
What do you call a line of Barbies?
Barbecue.
What do you call a line of Barbies?
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
I thought he said, what did you call a lion bar?
No. What do you call a line of Barbies?
A barbecue, that's good.
That's very good.
Did he? What's the story there? Did he didn't make that up, the child, did he? Because that would be extraordinary.
I don't think it was... He says, I sincerely hope that my wife and I made up this joke ourselves for our three-year-old son, and we didn't pinch it from someone. So, yeah, there you go. They believe they made it up themselves. And
that's good.
Riley was just providing the punchline. Thank you very much for all those made-up jokes. I'm sure we'll have some more next week.
And it's all about nicking some stuff from the street this week, listeners. It's not about that at all. It's
recontextualizing
objects which have been abandoned in public spaces. Yeah?
Nice.
This is from David in Watford, all right? I once found an electric LED dot matrix sign on my way home one night. After a while, I spent some time wiring up a car battery to it to see if it worked. To my amazement, it worked.
I found it attached to a shop.
And it said the words, girls, 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 nude, 20p. That's the best thing an LED sign can possibly say. We had it in the kitchen until it caught fire. A friend offered to reprogram it. I said, why would I do that? I also have a working traffic light in my disco garage.
Nice. You know, why are these things so desirable? For me, it's watching American sort of teen movies.
80s, and they always have road signs and stuff and neon lights, don't they, in their bedrooms?
Like Tom Cruise in Risky Business.
He's got a very good neon sign that flashes while he indulges in some onanism.
That's right.
It's quite a racy scene.
Yes, yes, yes.
That you wouldn't find in a film anymore. And Ferris Bueller, has he got that kind of stuff around his bedroom?
Bound to. I'm going to go home and watch that racy scene tonight with my family.
That'll be fun. Here's one from Adam from Yatelity? Can that be right?
Oh, that's a tough one, isn't
Yatelity. My brother-in-law saw a large, comfy, easy chair in the road outside his house and assumed somebody was refurbishing. Decided to take it. 3 days later, him and all his housemates got terrible skin infections. They had received bed bugs from the free furniture, had to be quarantined for 3 weeks to get rid of the infection.
That is the downside.
That's very common, isn't it? I think we did that as students. Saw a big plush sofa. Oh, yeah. It was a bit damp. Never mind, it'll dry out. Bought it into our student flat.
Scabies.
Things start crawling out of it.
That's right.
Stinks,
you never know.
Smells.
I wouldn't go for a secondhand sofa or a discarded mattress being the worst one. No way.
Joe in Primrose Hill, I found a homemade magician's box used to cut a woman in half in the street. Is that feasible?
I suppose, if the act had gone wrong.
Here we go. Look, I told myself that it was that if it was there 10 minutes later, then it was definitely being thrown away and was fair game. Mm. Sure enough, 10 minutes later, it was still there, and I dragged it home. My excitement was slightly dampened when I found strange stains on the metal blades, but I kept it anyway. With hindsight, I may have either ruined an amateur magician's fledgling career, spoiled a child's birthday party, or concealed evidence from a horrific conjuring bloodfest.
Yeah, that could have been it. I mean, did I talk to you before on a slightly related note about finding this bike in France?
No.
I found it in a ditch, right? Discarded by the side of the road.
Yes.
And then, and I came back for it later as well.
Yeah.
After I'd hidden it behind a hedge.
Moved it and hidden it.
Yeah,
well, you know what was going on there, don't you?
No, it was not a farmer.
He hadn't abandoned it.
He had.
But if you want to leave a bike somewhere and you don't have a lock or anything to lock it to, you might hide it in a ditch or just put it out of sight in a bush. And you hope against
hope. But by the side of a main road in the middle of nowhere?
Buckley's won't come along and
listen, I feel bad about it to this day, and I'm worried that secretly I've been cursed because it was the devil's bike.
I'm sure you're fine.
This is why I've got my elbow problem.
Maybe it's why your bikes keep getting stolen the whole time.
That's what I'm thinking.
Here's a final one from Pete, brackets, student, Sheffield, close brackets. Hi, A and J. Me and my flatmates found a table football in a nearby skip. We took it late at night. It was very mucky and had dog poo on.
Just Boggins' table football table.
But that's another thing, isn't it? You get something home that you think is really exciting and then you play with it for a bit and then you...
You discover why it was thrown out.
Yeah. It's got... dog poo on it.
You know, don't forget, listeners, that if you have something to contribute to this during the week, if you're listening again or downloading the podcast, the email address is adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. No text during the week, please. It'll be a total waste of money.
Yeah, what?
Don't forget that Don Letts is part of the Six Music family, and he's got a show this evening, I think, from... 9-11.
From 9-11.
11.
It started... a long time ago, didn't it? Did it really start in 9/11?
Yeah.
And it's been going on ever since. Wow.
Well, that could just be September the 11th this year. But and that's it'll not even true.
Later.
It's got nothing to do with his show, right? It starts at 11 this evening. How long does it go on, James? 1 minute. Lasts for
a 1 minute program.
1 minute show.
At 11.
Just does that, like farts. Recordings, field recordings of chuffs.
For a minute at 11.
From around the
presented
world.
Presented by Don Letts.
Hi, everyone. Don Letts here. I've got some great farts that I've recorded around the world. Here's one that Mick Jones passed me on that he recorded in Guatemala. What a fart. That's
this is really this insulting to Don Letts.
Come on, he can take it.
Can he, though?
He's a ledge.
He's going to come in here and lamp your face.
He's a punk ledge. You know why I'm doing that? Because one time I went up to him in a club when he was DJing, and I said, can I shake your hand? I did that thing, right? Mm. Can I shake your hand? Because I'd just been watching From West Way to the World, a documentary about The Clash that I think he directed. And I just thought it was amazing, and so I wanted to tell him so in that way that you do sometimes. Mm. You want to pass on the love. He didn't give me any love back at all.
What, he didn't let you shake his hand?
He did, but it was very grudging. And he pretty much, he looked angry about it. Like, it's like, fair enough, he was DJing. But I waited till he was, like, not doing anything. He wasn't segueing or
what
anything.
What kind of a Six Music family is this when one member of the family...
Dysfunctional! All right?
Abuses another member of the family.
So
live
tune in
on
to
air.
Don Letts' fart show. I'm joking, Don Letts. He's a legend. He helped us shape our culture. And of course it's not a fart show. It's a brilliant show and it starts at 11 p.m. this evening. Oh, my God.
That was the end of the so-called highlights from this week's Six Music radio show. Now there's just a little time left for one final linky from the two baboon men that you call Adam and Joe.
We're both a little knackered today, listeners.
It was Electric Proms, wasn't it? That took it out of us.
Right, because it's an emotional roller coaster.
It was live in front of people.
Yeah. My problem is at night, because of my elbow, yes. I wake up every half an hour. So I've got like big, giant bags under my eyes,
me
and I'm
too.
Just absolutely knackered the whole time.
We need an early holigol. Yeah. Can we do this show from abroad? If you listen to commercial radio stations, they do whole weeks of programming from Hawaii.
Right.
And stuff like that. So we're serious, James.
Yeah, James
Why
is like
nodding.
Why can't
we do this from abroad?
Please,
I
can
mean,
we?
It would be wickle sticks. You know what people love us to do is go to Japan. They love it when we go to Japan.
It's true.
Have you seen our... I'm talking to James Sterling. Have you seen our series Adam and Joe Go Tokyo? It's old, but oh, it's good.
No one liked it at the time.
No one liked it at the time, but now at least there's some of those clips have got just under 4,000 hits on YouTube. I mean, those are big numbers.
Is that where you'd go to Japan to do this show?
Well, it's not hot enough, is it? I mean, we really need sunshine and to do as little work as possible.
I'm just amazed that the BBC can't figure something out on that for like a little show on a digital station. Why can't they pump all the money into that?
It's a trip to Hawaii.
Yeah.
What if there was a listener that lived somewhere beautiful? I wonder what podcast listener lives in the most beautiful place?
Will Smith.
Does he listen?
Yeah, he does, from his gold house.
We've got a listener that listens in the most... I mean, it doesn't have to be posh, but just an amazing, beautiful beachside hut.
That's true, isn't it?
And I could do the sleeping with them thing, and we could go over and do the show from their place.
Well, you're creeping them out now by saying you're going to sleep with them.
What's creepy about this?
It's totally realistic that there might be a listener who has an amazing palatial house where they listen to the podcast.
Why is it creepy for me to sleep with someone?
Because they just mix it up. What if they don't necessarily
It's not
want
sexual.
To?
Right. It's just friendly.
It's just keeping them company.
Buddy spooning.
What about if Boggins came and slept between you?
Boggins will be there as well.
Well, you know, this is...
I think we should fix that up, man.
It would be lovely if someone got in touch and invited us out.
We need a boost of sunshine.
Yeah, a little pick-me-up sunshine boost.
So why don't we say that if we can't fix that for next week, then there's no more show.
That's it.
Yeah, is that a good...
Yeah, that's good. I'll go with that.
Premise?
Yeah.
Okay, so Hawaii or nothing?
Or how about this? Hawaii or we'll have a chat about David Letterman?
Hawaii or we'll be back later.
With Jules Holland.
We'll do another show.
Have a good week.
Hey, thanks for listening. And we will be back next week. So see you then.
I love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.
Do you think my torso's good enough to appear in a Twilight film?
No.
Like to be a vampire? You haven't seen my torso for a while, but do you think it's good enough?
No.
I mean, I think I could be a vampire in Twilight.
No. Do you care about my response?
Not really.
No. 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 No.
No.
No, you're never going to be in a Twilight film.
Are you sure?
Yeah, not unless it's by accident.
What about as like an evil... Like more mature vampire.
Right, yes.
What about this?
Oh, well, that was frightening. Yeah. Listeners, I wish you could have seen it. It chilled the marrow.
Adam and Joe on 6 Music.